end of yesterday's show, I said the last 3.5 months on this earth. I know I meant to say 3.5 years. I was thinking, should I say 42 months or 3.5 years? That's what I was thinking. And I'm thinking in a split second, ladies and gentlemen. And I was going to say 42 months because it's measured both ways in the unveiling. When speaking of the powers of evil, it's measured in months because the moon is the measure of months. And the moon speaks of evil tidings. But when we're talking about God, it's years and days and that nature. So it came out 3.5 months. It was supposed to be 3.5 years. I got this email from Glenn Beck, not personally. He's not a personal friend of mine, but listen to this. This is what I'm talking about. This is the headline. This was just yesterday. Does religion matter when voting for president? For those of you not in the United States, we're already ramping up the 2016 elections here in the United States of America, and the Republicans are vying for the nomination. The Democrats are vying for the nomination. And here's the big question asked by Glenn Beck. Does religion matter when voting for president? The results of a new poll came out showing how likely Americans are to vote for presidential candidates based on their religion. Here's the thing. This is what I've been telling you. This is where it's going. Quoting again. Well, talking through the findings on Radio Tuesday, Glenn couldn't help but notice the earmarks of a phase in American history we're entering into unlike any other. A phase in American history. And I know what that phase is. It's a melding of religion and politics. Christianity's version of religion. And the world's version of politics. What could go wrong with that combination? Glenn says, except maybe for a few instances. That is, there have been a few instances in history where people vote according to religion. He's speaking after 9/11, during the Civil War and the American Revolution. And the American Revolution, it was for God and country. One nation under God, wasn't it? And 9/11, we came together for what? I think it was like 16 minutes in unity, and church attendance was up, and then people found out, oh, it's still the same sham God we had before 9/11. And they got the heck out. But this is where it's going. And religion matters to people. They want somebody who is religious, like the so-called founders of our country. Well, they were the founders of our country. We have to speak relatively. We can't believe, we can believe in the absolute, but we can't speak in the absolute. Okay, there were founders of our country, and they were generally, I believe, deists. I mean, they believed vaguely in God, but they were, a lot of them were part of the Masons and cults, all these terrible things, but it's all under the umbrella, the appearance of God. That's where it's going. It's all appearance. So Mitt Romney, like in the last Obama election, was a, and still is, a Mormon. And so that became a big thing. But you would think that people would be repelled by it. Ooh, a Mormon. But they wanted a Mormon. It would have been fine. I don't know if they wanted one, but look at JFK. He was famous for being a Catholic. Oh, he was a great Catholic. Well, you know, the best Catholic is a bad Catholic. So, you know, when Jackie was out of town, he's, you know, screwing Marilyn Monroe and anything else in his skirt. But he's a Catholic. Well, you know, that's what Catholicism does. It's not inconsistent with Catholicism. So, you know, if that's what JFK wants to do, happy birthday to you. Yeah, Marilyn Monroe singing happy birthday to you in a dress that, never mind. So that takes care of that. Now, I was going to dive into the beasts. Yesterday, I told you about the key word, the stem QDM, the stem, and it means Eastern, or it means foremost or Eastern. And when we translate it Eastern in Daniel 7, it opens up a vein of truth that's going to help us understand what's happening now on the news and what is going to happen in a big way in the quote end times, that is the day of indignation. You only find that translation in the concordant version of the Old Testament. I maybe failed to mention that, and I surely should have mentioned it. You only find it in the concordant version of the Old Testament, And it was a bold translating move. It really was bold because the rut that went before all said the first animal and the next animal, the first and the next, instead of the easternmost. And when we analyze the beasts soon, I thought I was going to do it today, but we have a method here to the madness. We are going to find characteristics mentioned by Daniel thousands of years ago while he was in Babylon. We are going to see similarities, but identifications, recognizable identifications with the four religions that are present today. But I know when they're going to become one religion. I know when that is going to happen. I don't have a date. Don't get excited. Everybody wants a date. Martin, do you have a date? Do you have any idea when this is going to happen? This is my date. Look at the camera 5 minutes from now. That's the date for the snatching away of the body of Christ. Paul put forward this truth as a constant expectation. That's why there are no time pegs to it. The Eight Epics of Satan. Finally getting around to the title of the show. Am I show over yet? No? Okay, great. The Eight Epics of Satan, because we're going to analyze the beast and the dragon. Satan is seen in a figure as a dragon. It's not a literal dragon. We don't have a King Arthur coming down the pike here with a lance and Sir Lancelot, but it's a figure of a dragon. That's what John sees, and he's cast out of heaven. This is epic number three of the Eight Epics of Satan. Did you know Satan had eight epics, E-P-O-C-H-S, that is time periods, epics. They are epic epics of Satan, and there are eight of them. And we can learn of his career in the scriptures. It's all laid out there plainly. And I'm told we're not supposed to understand this, but there it is. The creation of Satan, and he was a created being, and he wasn't created good and went bad. Why am I talking about this? Because he's a critical player in the unveiling as the dragon, because he is cast out of heaven then. And that is when he forms the four religions into one under the wild beast. So this is not going to happen until the middle of that last 7-year period. And he's going to animate the man of lawlessness. He's going to personify the wild beast. It's all going to be great. Not really, but it's not going to be surprising, or it shouldn't be. Satan was created by God to be an adversary. I'm not here to teach that truth. Some people think he was a lovely angel that disobeyed God and fell because, well, God couldn't do anything about it. He made him good. God wanted him to stay good. Satan had other ideas. I will not stay good. I will go away. And he rebelled. Well, no, he was created to be evil. The adversary is a sinner from the beginning, Jesus said. And I think his word can be trusted. John 8:44. The career of Satan divided into eight epics. E-P-I-C-E-P-O-C-H-S. It is possible. This is epic number one. I think it's probable that Satan was among the sons of God who celebrated the creation of the earth. Well, I wouldn't say celebrated, but noted it. The sons of God shouted for joy. He may have been in the wings. Let me read this passage to you from Job chapter 38, verse 6 and 7. God asks Job, on what were its bases sunk, that is the earth? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who enclosed the sea with doors when bursting forth it went out from the womb? Who are these morning stars shouting for joy? And I must ask, I'm not sure that Satan would be shouting for joy at that. But it's possible because he has another agenda in mind than the good sons of God who were there. And he is a son of God. Or if he's not, then he's a morning star. He was created by God, but is it technically correct to call him a son of God? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. I believe he was one of the morning stars, not the sons of God. There are two categories here in verse 7 of Job chapter 38. The morning stars and the sons of God. And I believe, I can't call him a son of God, but I can call him a morning star. And they sang together. Satan believed that the earth, he probably knew this, was created to be a battleground between good and evil. That is, the powers of good would fight evil, not in the heavenly realms, but on this despicable little rock in space, the third rock from the sun. So, again, Satan's always getting excited at the wrong times. He's celebrating over things that he's just pulled off, but he's actually screwed the pooch yet again. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he sang at the creation of Earth. I mean, all spiritual beings would have been in attendance at this inaugural moment of founding the Earth. Don't you think Satan was there? Everybody was there. If you were anybody, you were there. And he said, here it is, finally. I can't beat God when he's this almighty powerful spirit. But if he sends his son into a humble, weakened form, and that was why the earth was created, so that Christ could come to the earth in a humbled, weakened form. Satan thought, I can get him then. I'll get him then. So he's celebrating that aspect in his mind. Oh, there's the earth, finally. This is the battleground. This is the showdown. And that was at the cross, by the way, the showdown. Satan unleashed everything he had. But the sons of God were shouting at that time for another reason. They saw the redemption. Maybe they saw this far, not sure. How can I be dogmatic about this? That they saw as far as what the cross would do for the entire universe. Could they have possibly seen that far so that they celebrated the earth? Let me think on this for a second. Yes. I say yes. Because why would they shout for joy? Otherwise, they'd just be staring at it like puzzling, stroking their little beards like you see me doing on the studio cam. And going, what is that? That's a different kind of celestial orb. And so, but they shouted for joy because here was something great. But Satan, not being possibly as astute as some of us believe he is, shouted for joy that here finally was the stage created where he would conquer God and good. And he would do it at Calvary. I think that's what he was thinking. That's the first epic. We're about done with the show already. The next time we meet him is in Eden. And what happened there? Don't ask. Don't ask. Do you ever want to get a time machine? Go back and, quote, fix something? Well, I hope not in the case of Eden, because that would be a disaster. Tomorrow we will continue with the eight epics of Satan, who will appear in the unveiling as a dragon, which is epic number 3, E-P-O-C-H. He has 5 more epics after that, and we will read about them in the unveiling when we get there. In the meantime, please know that Satan can do nothing of his own. He can only do what is dictated for him to do by God, because God is over his entire creation and is operating everything in accord with the counsel of his own will.